I think I hear the music in the background, meaning the area fishing report is about to take place. And in this week's episode, Captain Josh Olive is trying to take Robert's top spot as the number one in the chair opposite me. But will that happen? Will Robert retain his throne? Or will the underdog prevail? We have this and many more things to be...
Can I just abdicate it to Robert right now? Let him keep it? Can I do that? Yeah. I don't really want to fight with him. I really don't. I mean, I'm more than happy to sit here and hang out with you guys, but I don't want to be obligated to do this every week. I mean, come on.
Nobody wants to work with me that much. All right. I get that. I understand. I know how you guys all are. All right. Anyway, Peace River System. What's going on up in the Peace River?
A lot of water.
Yeah, lots of water
very
coming down.
Brown water.
A lot of fresh water pouring down there.
Yeah, I didn't even look. It was 7 foot. It had been at 5.5 and gone up to 7 last time I looked, which was, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday. Yesterday, day before, I don't remember. And because I'm not sure what day today is. But, all right, here we are. Whoa. Yeah, it went from 5.5 feet up to 10.75 feet, starting to level off. 11 is flood stage in Arcadia.
Very cool. So is that a new record for this date?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
1982 was the last record set at 2,640 cubic feet a second, and we are at 3,600 cubic feet per second. So wiped out all the previous existing records. Now the new record is 2018.
Right, and that's just an enormous, enormous amount of water coming down that river.
That's
billions
crazy.
And billions of gallons of fresh water every day.
Yeah.
Huge.
So it's going to be, with all that current in the river, all that water flow coming down, I'm not sure how many fish are going to be up there right now.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty questionable.
If this was the start of the flood, there would be a gazillion fish. But it's been flowing for 2 weeks now.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and this is just too much. I mean, everything that was going to get pushed down that was going to draw those fish up there has already been pushed down. Now you just have a whole lot of fresh water coming out. And I will say, you know, when I work at the newspaper, we have a canal ditch that connects to the river pretty close to the 41 bridges. And I watch the changing fauna in that little canal ditch, and I see how the crabs will get super abundant and then get pretty uncommon in there, and the tilapia are suddenly by the bazillions in there, and I mean little teeny tiny tilapia too. They're all over the place in there. But I watch how that changes over the course of a year, and that kind of gives me a pretty good insight in what's going on, at least on the lower part of the river.
Well, do you think we're having a big tilapia batch in the river at this point?
I wouldn't be surprised at all based on the number of little tilapia that I've seen. I'll tell you that the crabs have vanished, though. They're gone.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've been hearing, too, up there on the Peace River and some of those cattle ponds and stuff from some of our customers from Arcadia, they've been seeing quite a few tilapia in their ponds this year because last year a lot of them got dead because of the drought. You know, those ponds dried up to just about.
Drowed up. Yes, yeah. They sure did drowed up, Robert.
Yeah.
And once they drowed up, it's hard for them to re-drowed.
Look, he's speaking English as a second language. Cut him some slack. The thing about tilapia that a lot of people don't realize is that where they live in Africa, they live in very hot soda lakes, and they're able to withstand much higher temperatures than any of our other native fish species. I mean, we're talking about water temperatures up to 130, 140 degrees on the regular basis.
Now, do the eggs live in the mud and then when the rains come, hatch?
No. Our tilapia are mouth brooders. They actually will keep their eggs in their mouths to keep them safe. And then if you watch, sometimes...
Can they breathe air?
No.
Okay.
They cannot. You'll watch sometimes a big mama tilapia, when she's sitting on her nest, will have her offspring swim into her mouth for protection against predators. They're really cool fish.
Okay. No, well, I was wondering, because some fish, you know, the eggs go into the mud, and then they just lay there dormant until the rains come. and other fish can lay in the mud and just breathe air and stuff like that. So I didn't know how far the tilapia could take that.
They're not quite that durable. They do need water to continue to breathe with their gills, and the eggs won't survive when they dry out. But, okay. As far as temperature goes, it's ridiculous.
What are we doing for the Peace River? Question marks?
Yeah, I put question marks. Okay. I think that'd be the most realistic thing.
And now that's going to take us
now,
to
I-75. Now, I will tell you one thing about the Peace River that I have heard, which is that the catfish bite has been pretty good. If you like...
Oh, the freshwater catfish?
Yeah, if you like catching those freshwater channel cats, those guys have moved down somewhat and are pushing down a little bit further. I've heard about some caught over there in Harbor Heights, but most of them have been a little bit further up, more around Navigator and Points North. But a lot of them and a lot of those fish moving around.
Are they catching the bullheads too, or are they just all channel cats?
I only heard about channels. They're definitely not bullheads because these are catfish that are averaging 5-7 pounds.
It's pretty good size.
Yeah.
Okay. So I-75, what do we got?
There's been some juvenile tarpon there and a couple of black drum. But other than that, it's been very quiet. And I think it's the juvenile tarpon that have been moving back and forth between the 41 bridge now and 75 because they seem to be... They always intermingle, but you always get these mixed reports like that at 75, too.
All right, what's going on at 41 Bridge?
Tarpon and snook at night, like very good fishable numbers. And then during the daytime, there has been the occasional trout, a few snook, and some black drum. And I did have one guy said he hooked into a small bonnethead shark fishing under there the other day. So it's... little bit of a mixed bag, I guess.
There's been a few schools of jacks on the incoming tides when it was salty enough, but that report is a little bit older, so I don't know if they're still there. I do know that I saw some baitfish pods from the road the other day, so I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing some of those jacks, which can take surprisingly fresh water, coming up to take advantage.
All right. Lashley Pier, anything?
Honestly, I have not gotten a report off of there this week.
The only thing I heard about there was a couple of small bull sharks.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Okay. Fun to catch.
Absolutely.
All right.
Those 2.5, 3-footers.
Well, let's put us over to Bayshore Pier.
Well, I've got crickets over there, too.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Bayshore.
Okay. Scrolling down, the Port Charlotte Canal Systems.
That's doing pretty good still. You got a lot of snook catch and release all through there. Some jacks, been a couple of redfish being caught still.
I heard more than a couple.
Well, that was behind my house, but I've had several other people tell me that they've caught them over there. The Ackerman Watermap. Wow, I'm just having one of those tongue days, aren't I?
Like I said, English is a second language. That's what you should tell people.
Ackerman Waterway, and what's a waterway at the very end back?
The O'Hara or the Manchester?
O'Hara, because he was fishing back there. Almost by Triple Lakes kind of area.
But even though the redfish hasn't been, you know, amazing or anything in there, it's worth mentioning because of the number of people who've been saying that they're having a hard time finding any redfish at all. And when you're able to go sit down and catch 2, 3, 4, you know, just in a couple hours fishing, it's definitely worth saying, hey, guess what? We found a few.
All right. Well, that's going to put us out to the Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean Pier, the mangrove snapper. Mostly small. Been a handful of bigger trout in there the last 2 days. And a lot of juvenile tarpon, mostly in the first light in the morning and then throughout the nighttime.
I've also had some reports on spade fish over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. It's been a while since I've had a spade fish report.
Well, it was actually a sheep's head report.
Oh.
And they sent me the picture. I said, oh, you know what that is?
No, it's a sheep's head. That's good. That's a very good thing.
Yeah, isn't it funny how one fish turns into the other fish once you see the picture?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Myakka River area itself. Tippy canoe, the cutoff, anywhere in those areas, the river?
Some catch and release, small snook, a couple of trout, and they've been smaller, but then I did hear of some pompano right at the north entrance of the Myakka cutoff and going around just on barely to the south on the Hog Island, all around the Hog Island area on the Myakka part.
I had some guys who were catching some really good size snook up inside the cutoff going in there on paddle craft, just kind of sneaking around and fishing in some of the deeper shoreline areas.
Where are they putting in at?
I believe they're putting in at Port Charlotte Beach, actually.
It's a pretty good jaunt.
Well, these guys are hardcore. What you might call physically fit.
Gotcha.
They're also running paddle, pedal kayaks.
Oh,
paddle.
Okay. That makes life a lot easier.
If you pedal and paddle, you can really go along fairly quick.
Pedaladdle?
Yeah.
Pedaddle?
Pedaddle
kayak.
Yeah, pedaddle kayak. All right. Getting to where you really could pedaddle is in South Gulf Cove.
Crickets?
Yeah. No, I didn't get anything this week. He didn't send me anything.
Nobody sent you anything?
No.
And it was... Okay. All right. Well,
crickets, unfortunately. You must have the same guy I got, because I get one, maybe two guys give me a regular report in there.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird, because there's more than one or two guys fishing in there.
Yes, there is.
There's actually...
I think they want to just keep
it shut. That's what they do.
I think they got something going on in there, and they're just trying to keep it a secret.
I think they do, too. Loose lips sink ships.
Well, loose lips bring ships.
Either way.
Yes. Yeah. I would say that's more to the point. It's not about sinking the ships. It's about bringing them. All right. This is going to take us onto the West Wall.
Most I've been hearing about has been way down south. There's been some bonnet heads, a few Atlantic sharp nose and black nose, and a few cobia out on the flat itself. And then a handful of redfish and catch and release snook up under the bushes. Other than that, I haven't heard of any trout really to speak of. Or
nothing with size.
Yeah.
I mean, there's little guys out there. Had a couple people be surprised by tarpon out there on the bar edge when they're getting into that water more like 4 and 5 feet deep, you know, drifting along with a shrimp, hoping that they're going to catch a good trout and ending up with giant silverfish jumping all over the place instead.
They don't eat shrimp, do they?
No, never.
No, tarpon, you've got to have crabs for you can't fish for them with shrimp.
Exactly be 3 inches long, because there's tarpon down there with those tape measures measuring out that crab. Oh, no, that one's not good.
Gosh. I wonder what a tarpon's calorie requirement is for a day and how many 3-inch crabs it would take to meet it.
That's
an interesting question. I like it.
I mean, what are they, literally just eating 3-inch crabs all day long, you know? They got to be eating something else. Got to.
Yeah. Sargassum grass.
Let's not bring any logic or analytical approaches into this. Forget about it.
No.
We know what works.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be an issue. Logic and fishing rumor don't belong together. The urban myth of the Silver King, and it's funny how many people I have helped over the years catch tarpon by simply reminding them it is a fish. It is not a deity. It's simply a fish. It's not a king of fishes. It's just a fish. It eats dead stuff, live stuff. A silver king is only a silver king when it's on the end of your line, glistening in the sunshine, and jumping and doing all the stuff. Prior to that, it's a pretty useless big old lady fish. So, all right, Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Cape Hayes all the way across the whole thing. Some bonnet heads, black nose, sharp nose. Been a few scattered Spanish mackerel and bluefish. Heard of a couple of pompano. And then, you know, a lot of those snook moving in and out, you know, across the channel there between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay. And then I've heard of two cobia that were sighted but not hooked that were crossing the bar with those guys that were trying to pompano fish over there.
Okay. I would say there's been more than a few Spanish down there, though.
Yeah.
You hit it on the right tide?
Yeah, that's true.
It's surprising, with as fresh as this water has become, how many Spanish we still have inside the harbor.
Yeah, it is kind of wild. I mean, especially knowing that there's a 10.5-foot wall of fresh water coming down.
Well, and the thing that confuses me about it, and, you know, I always try to kind of put myself in the fish's fins, as it were, but it doesn't make any sense, because there's obviously bait inside the harbor, and that, you know, will draw in those fish, but there's also lots and lots of bait out in the Gulf of Mexico, where you would think water conditions would be much more to their liking. But here they are, coming all the way up into the harbor and dealing with these brackish conditions. so that they can have a nosh.
Well, get them. Could it be possible that saltwater fish come up into the freshwater to help get rid of some of the parasites?
I suppose it's possible.
Like sea lice and things like that that would do very well in the Gulf of Mexico but would not survive up in the Peace River.
Right. I suppose. I don't know how heavily parasitized Spanish mackerel are as a general rule, though. I don't remember seeing or noticing, anyway, any sea lice or anything on them, but maybe the sea lice are bad this year.
All right. Bull Bay Turtle Bay, what do we got going?
A lot of little trout, ladyfish, some bluefish and Spanish mackerel, and then there has been some juvenile tarpon in the back end of Turtle Bay, and then the snook and an occasional redfish over in Bull Bay. You know, and the redfish and the snook seem to be up more towards that entrance going out towards what, Sandfly and the Clam Leases area.
A few of those larger bull sharks that we've seen some of in the past have made their way up into Bull and Turtle also. Some guys reporting some surprisingly large sharks in very shallow water.
It's always cool to watch them swim through that stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. as long as you're prepared to watch that, you know, when you're watching that 9-foot shark cruising through water that's 18 inches deep.
It's just cool because they hit it sometimes and it's like they still have it under control, but there's almost like a organized panic to it when they hit that shallower water like that.
Yep.
You know, it's like, did you just chase something or did you actually, your belly touched the bottom and went, uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of neat.
It's that cool submarine effect going on.
Yeah.
One of these days I'll get a good photo.
Okay. Cape Hayes Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel, bluefish, a couple of cobia, and a handful of, small snapper.
Also heard about a couple of short gag caught out there this week.
Yeah. Little puppies?
No. I mean, not big enough that you're going to keep them, but 18, 20 inches.
Oh, okay. Ones you think that you're going to measure.
Yeah, ones that, as it's coming up, you're absolutely convinced it's going to be a keeper fish. And then
right.
You realize just how big 24 inches is in a gag grouper.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising. It's kind of like a, what, 34-inch AJ?
Yeah. Kind of like.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to take us on to the area from Devilfish north up to Placida. Or from the phosphate dock up to Little Gasparilla Pass, anywhere in there?
The whole Boca Grande side has been pretty good. A lot of the catch and release snook. There has been some black drum, some big mangrove snapper, and a couple of redfish inside the Boca Bayou, especially up inside the canal system there. And then there's been a handful of trout. The bigger trout definitely being caught on pinfish. The smaller trout, which there's a lot more of, are eating just about anything that swims in front of them or jiggles close enough to them.
Now, you might get a tiny little bit frustrated going in there and trying to snook fish, because there's a good chance that you're going to see some of those fish hanging out, especially around some of the docks where you're going to be able to watch those fish cruising over the bottom. And remember, you're watching them, they're watching you. You know, you got to get out there and get them when they're actively feeding. Pitching big baits up underneath the docks is the way to do it. And be ready for those fish when they hit. Because if you don't have that fish coming out once it hits the bait, then you're not going to catch that fish. You're just going to break off fish after fish.
Have that experience of, I got railed.
Yep.
I just got educated.
I don't, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Okay, the area of Placida Trestle, Gasparilla Island, South Pier, anything?
Well, Placida is still closed for land-based guys. But from the boaters' perspective, they've been catching some pompano, bonnet heads, a lot of catch and release snook, because, I mean, it's just been incredible for that. And then the occasional bluefish, Spanish mackerel, whiting. There's even been a couple of what people were calling sheep's head being caught off of there, but after Josh's thing spade with fish. The spade fish,
yeah.
It's probably maybe more or less what he's seen in some of the weekly pictures.
Well, no, these are not pictures that they're sending me in for the magazine. These are pictures that for some reason, a lot of people like to send me fish ID photos or just to brag about what they've caught, and they don't want them to be published.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but they still want to tell me anyway, which is cool. I have no issue with that. There's also
makes for an accurate report, though.
Some mangrove snappers over there. Not, you know, on fire or anything, but if you like mangrove snappers, worth going over there and trying to catch them.
Definitely makes for an, you know, much more accurate report with their pictures, though. You know, that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
You know, it allows us the opportunity to tell people about them, you know, even if they don't want the proof in the paper.
Well, I guess the other thing I could do is I could just go with whatever ID they give me and tell them that's what they caught. I mean, that's yeah, another choice that you could make.
But on the other hand, you're the one that takes all the grief from that, misidentifying fish and doing all that. And well, if you put, you know, okay, Gary, George caught, he said he caught six, you know, pompanos, and shows pictures of Jack Crevel there.
Right.
One or the other, somebody's going to be upset.
Well, I think that if you have a magazine, you should probably set people straight and give them the education that they need so they know what they caught the next time. Other people might make different decisions. Who's Gary George, by the way? Where'd you come up with that?
I was trying to be nondescript.
Gary George is an extremely descript name. I bet there's only one or two of those in the world.
Well, I don't think he lives here.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's more than likely from Uzbekistan.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Gary. Okay. Common name in Uzbekistan.
Well, he's a transplant.
All over Eastern Europe, yeah, actually.
I was thinking Miramar.
So, all right.
That's who calls me all the time, and they're from Miramar.
Gary George?
Yeah. My name's Gary.
Gary. George.
Probably from the Philippines or, you know, India.
My name is David.
Okay. All right. I used to ask people, well, what's your real name? And then they would say something. I'm going, oh, well, I'll have to go back to Hitler because I can't pronounce that anyway. All right. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay.
There's been a lot of whiting, lizard fish, a few ladyfish.
How about Lemon Bay?
Okay.
Instead of Stump Pass.
Okay. Well, you started it by saying Stump Pass. I know. I heard you.
I know, but I think I'm going to take that off there and just put it on the passes instead of doing it with Lemon Bay there.
That's okay. Probably a good plan.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, because Stump Pass should be on the passes, not on... I'm going to go down and look and make sure it's on there. I don't remember.
It usually is. I think we do it there twice. It is.
All right, so I'm just going to pull that off there. That way we're not talking about it two and three times.
Okay.
All right, Lemon Bay.
The only thing I've heard about, honestly, has been a bunch of small trout.
They're not all small.
No.
Some guys are running into some bigger ones.
Are they?
But, you know, it's the usual story for trout. If you're catching all those little ones, you got to move. You got to find someplace a little bit deeper. And actually, putting Stump Pass in there back again, even though we were just told to take it out, getting closer to the pass and closer to that Gulf water is where they've been finding those bigger fish. You know, you're finding the little ones mostly on the grass flats up inside the bay. But getting more towards where the Gulf flows, that's where they're finding 20, 22, 24-inch fish. Not huge numbers.
Never
nice ones.
You never do. They're usually just better quality with less quantity.
Let's go to the Anger Pier.
Snook. Catch and release snook have been pretty incredible there.
Sorry.
You right over there, Frank?
No. It
kinda hiccuped on them?
It hiccuped, and I just got to go back and grab that.
No.
And
with that face you made, I thought you were having a tiny stroke.
Well, yeah, because it... Oh, what a pain in the butt. Anyway, I can fix this. It's a very old program, and it's very touchy for as far as what keys you use and what you don't.
Right, it's super picky about stuff, doesn't like that.
Yes, doesn't like this, doesn't like that.
Doesn't want to be petted the wrong way.
We're back, the Anger Pier. Lots of snook.
Lots of snook catch and release, especially at night. And then during the daytime, they've been getting some small mangrove snapper, a few whiting, a couple of sort of different sharks, and then the occasional tarpon by complete accident.
It's also been a good place to Spanish mackerel fish, but the guys who were fishing without chum were only catching a handful. The guys who went out there and actually put a chum bag down and let it carry out in the current, they did very well. They caught as many Spanish as they wanted.
Nice. You know, you never know. chumming off appears is that 50-50 hit or miss, don't know if this is a good idea or not, because, you know, but I can see if you got Spanish mackerel in the area, that would probably be very effective.
Well, and it wasn't their plan. Their plan was to shark fish. They were chumming for sharks. That didn't work out, but the Spanish showed up in the slick. So gotcha. They were just catching and catching and catching.
Much pleasant bycatch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, do we have any reports with the weather from the Gulf of Mexico?
I was actually out there yesterday. It was calm enough to be out there. Ran across a few other anglers, not huge numbers of them out there. Did not see a lot of people catching fish, and that kind of mimicked what we were doing. We watched a lot of bait fish up on the surface. Those bait fish were completely unmolested. They were out there at about 40 feet and then again at about 70 feet, and nothing was bothering them. Nothing at all.
Okay.
Had a couple of small grouper come up. That was really all that we caught that was worth mentioning. We saw a lot of fish down there on the bottom. We had fish that we could see underneath the boat flashing color, but they weren't interested in eating shrimp. They weren't interested in eating bait fish. They weren't interested in squid or cut bait. They weren't interested in jigs. They didn't want spoons. They didn't want troll plugs. So we came home.
Did you try chicken wings?
We didn't have any chicken wings.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that was my fault for not having any chicken wings with me. I
figure it sounded like you had everything else.
Yeah, we gave it a real good shot. I only saw some of the other boats out there catching random small things. If I had to guess what they were actually catching, my guess is that they were catching blue runners, because that's the one thing that we caught lots of when we stopped to get bait.
Well, I guess I can throw that in there.
Yeah, blue runners, wee!
Runners, okay. Well, all right.
But it was very nice out there. It was nice to see, I mean, in about 30, 40, 50 feet of water, it was still kind of murky. We were seeing some of that, what I call gold dust algae, the brown, small particles that will form out there and kind of cover the water and make the surface kind of bronzy looking. But out past 60 feet, it was clear and pretty and nice. And for the next couple of days, anyway, we're looking at kind of the same thing.
All right. Venice jetties.
A lot of catch and release snook, a few bigger tarpon, all at night. And then during the daytime, there's been some Spanish mackerel coming in and out of there in sporadically good numbers. And then the biggest thing is surfers. A lot of guys enjoying the big waves that have been out there around the jetties.
Well, they were anyway. Yeah. Not so much now.
No, not so much now.
Looking ahead at the marine forecast, by the time we get into Tuesday night, they might be able to go out there and surf again.
Supposed to get sporty again?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay. Stump pass?
Enough doom and gloom.
Didn't we do stump pass already?
No.
Whiting?
Whiting, lizard fish, a few ladyfish, a few Spanish mackerel and jacks.
And if surfers can be for Venice Inlet, then boaters can be for Stump Pass there.
Yeah. Especially with it's forming in real nice, those little sandbars and coves and all that stuff in there.
Yeah. I mean, we're driving through the middle of the channel, the dredged channel yesterday, and we're in a 28-foot boat, and suddenly the bottom machine says, oh, you're in 2.8 feet now.
Yeah. Right now.
Whee!
Yeah.
And then it drops right back off again to 8.
All right.
What is going on here?
Little
who
Gasparilla?
Dredged that
thing? Little
nothing.
Gasparilla?
Nothing. Crickets.
Boca?
Boca has not had any tarpon in it until this morning. The tarpon just started to move back in from what I was told either late last night or early this morning, but there was a few in there this morning. And then there's been Spanish mackerel.
I just had a guy who called me. I talked to him on the phone a little while ago, and he jumped 13 this morning.
In the pass?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
That's really good. Because to tell you the truth, I've been kind of worried about that Gasparilla Island Kids Classic tournament happening on Saturday.
Is that this weekend?
That is.
Okay. So you're not working tomorrow night?
No, I'm not. Okay. Well, that's not true. I'm not working here.
You know what I mean.
I don't think Austin's going to be here either.
No, Austin's not. I'm planning on working.
Yeah, I think it's going to be me, you, and Chandler.
Theoretically. It'll be you and me for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, make me feel bad about it. It's fine.
You should. It's all your fault, at least partially.
All right. Captiva.
I got enough weight.
Captiva. I haven't heard anything about it, but with gag season opening this weekend, honestly, that would be one of the first places I'd be going to look for something without having to run offshore.
Josh?
It had a couple of pompano caught in there. Not been fantastic, but there's been a few fish if you're willing to work for them. Bounce a silly jig.
Redfish? Pass?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Crickets.
All right. And
although that full moon's here, those catch and release snooks should be absolutely amazing down there in Redfish Pass.
But it's like Gulf Cove. You know, yeah. The folks who fish there, they don't want to.
If a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it make a noise?
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
If a man says something and his wife didn't hear it, is he still wrong?
Right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I can tell you from personal experience.
Absolutely.
So, walking the beaches.
I don't have that problem. Anymore.
For the moment.
Anymore.
For a while. Sucker.
Yeah. Open mouth, insert foot.
Yeah. Well, that ain't what you've been inserting. Okay. All right. Coming on to walking the beaches.
You know she's a girl, right?
What do you...
Walking the beaches.
Walking the beaches.
Okay. Well, with the surf being
sexist,
down...
Sexist, aren't you? I mean, just like there's only one possible explanation for that statement. Give me a break.
With the surf being down.
Okay. The surf being down.
It's very possible to go out
Let's
there and
go
fish
down
the surf.
To it. Yes. Let's go down
go
to
right
it.
Go right down on that surf. Yes. Okay. Are you done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to be done. I think we're about halfway through, so this is killing me. Go ahead.
Well, it's nice because, you know, we've had that surf be really rough, and a lot of things have gotten moved around out there, but the fish have moved back in, and they're starting to feed.
Do you like it rough?
On that stuff that has been moved around. You know, I have a whole pile of shrimp legs that I pulled off this thing that I'm going to start throwing at you one at a time.
You've been destroying
you
the lures on my table.
Well, I didn't pull this one apart yet.
Yet. Okay. It's an $8 lure, and now it's missing all its legs and tentacles, you know, but that's okay. Keep your fingers busy, Josh.
Now it looks like a live shrimp.
Yes.
Okay. It's been attacked by pinfish.
Here, you can twist this twisty tie into
things. Thank you.
Things.
I appreciate that.
Okay. There you go.
Makes twisty tie sculptures.
Yeah.
Of here. Surf fishing, which is what we were trying to talk
about.
And
you can have a carabiner so you can make really cool little designs. Okay. There you go.
Thank you, all sir. Right. Anything else over there?
The only thing I have left over here is my...
I will be the greatest president that God ever created.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Okay. That is the weirdest pen ever invented.
It is very strange. Yes, it is. No question. Nothing normal about that at all.
That ballpoint pen kills me. I took it to ICAST. I was like, okay. And I clicked.
Sign all your contracts with it.
Oh, everybody was just... some people got really mad. Some people laughed. You know, it's just fun.
Boy.
If you can't have fun with life, why bother? Okay.
Sure.
Walking the beaches.
Is one of
standing on the sand, casting out into the surf.
You can do. Absolutely, you can.
Because you
been
can
talking
go down there and go right down to the surf.
Right down there. Go right on down. And you put anything in your mouth you
go
want
ahead.
While you're down there. So, we've got a lot of snook in the surf hanging out, and they're more than happy to hit little white bucktails and little spoons and stuff like that. Anything that looks like a small bait fish will be readily accepted, and if snook aren't your thing because they're out of season, you don't want to focus on them, then drop down a little bit smaller and start catching some whiting, because the whiting have been pretty good out there. Not amazing, but pretty good.
I'm supposed to be writing some of this down, aren't I?
Do whatever you want. It's your website, man.
You're looking for little products to sling or
whiting
to
and
pull apart.
Whiting and something else.
Snook. Okay. Snook. You missed the snook.
Okay. Yes. There is snook. Okay. Got it. All right. Moving on. All right.
Please.
Ponarasa Sanibel. What do we got?
The Sanibel Causeway has had some tarpon on it and a lot of catch and release snook. That's pretty good. Other than that, I haven't heard much else.
Heard about some guys doing some sharks down there on the beach. Some pretty good size ones. Heard about one tiger caught down there during that heavy surf episode. Apparently the guy who had to kayak the bait out was not very pleased.
He drew the short straw, huh?
Yeah, and dumped it over on the way back in.
Rock, paper, scissors.
But that was
a
cool Facebook story. And the shark was not a big one, 6 feet or so. But how much would you love to catch a 6-foot tiger, Robert?
3 to 6 foot, I'd just be ecstatic. I mean, it doesn't have to be a big one. I just want to actually see one, touch one, probably even hold one that size.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not either. I'm staying away from it.
The Caloosahatchee River, guys. What are we talking about here?
I've got nothing. They've started dumping the
already,
Okeechobee.
Huh? It's only been what, a year?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Okeechobee's dumping big time.
Okay, so Caloosahatchee, not a
things up.
Josh, you got anything
from the Caloosahatchee? No, I have not heard anything except brown, smelly water.
All right, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey, the only thing I've got there has been some small mangrove snapper and one baby redfish that he caught because he thought it was a whiting at first.
If you work a little bit harder and fish some of those oyster bars, you'll find some more redfish in there. Not all of them are babies. In fact, if I were going to go red fishing one place inside Greater Charlotte Harbor, that's probably where I would go, either that or behind Robert's house, since there seem to be a bunch of them back there. But that's where I've been getting some of the best reports out of the Matt Lachey area. Fishing on the oyster bars, fishing with cut bait.
All right, Pine Island Sound?
That's probably one of your more fishy areas for a variety of different things. A lot of individual tarpon kind of starting to show back up in there, cruising back and forth. Guys are catching them on dead bait. A lot of assortment of sharks, bonnet heads all the way up to lemon sharks, you know, in the 5 to 6 foot range. Spanish mackerel and bluefish, a handful of trout. The bigger trout are definitely being caught on pinfish drifting over the grass flats, especially around the shacks there. And then if you move up closer to the shoreline, along the mangrove shoreline, you're catching a few redfish I've heard about and some catch and release snook. So kind of a good mixed gamut down there. And it hasn't been fished that hard this past week because the wind's been cranking right on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Anything from you, Josh?
No.
All right, Jug Creek, Boquilla.
Honestly, I've got nothing there. One guy went there to catch some bait, and he worked at it very hard.
Anything for you?
I have not heard about anybody fishing that location.
Okay. Let's take it to Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Honestly, I haven't heard anything down there this week.
Burnt Store's been okay if you're willing to go down there and fish it. Trout action is okay. Not fantastic, but I've heard of some larger ones caught over there as well, mostly looking at about 4, 4.5, 5 feet of water. Plenty of smaller ones if you want to fish shallower, and if you don't care about size, just want to get some action. Snook, kind of hit or miss, but if you get out there on the lower phases of the tide, there have been some out there on the outside edge of the bar. Seems to be holding some ladyfish out there. It seems like the snook have been hanging out there, and these are not small ones either.
Okay. This would be so much easier if I would learn how to type the word the instead of H-T-E.
I always type te, T-E-H.
I type H-T-E. I don't know why. And I mean, I consciously think about it. Okay.
One finger faster than the other. That's the problem.
Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor, Martin Septic. Be good to go. Okay. Just friends of mine.
Okay.
I put a little ad on the thing for them.
They're nice people.
They're just really super nice folks. I mean,
yes, they are.
Not anything they asked me to do. It's just I put a little picture and their phone number up. I've known them for, God, forever.
That's sweet of you.
Yeah, well.
You're all right. Sometimes.
For whatever. So anyway, well, it's one of those things nobody wants to talk about and mention, but, you know, when you need somebody, you
really, really need somebody.
When you need somebody like Martin Septic, you really need them, and at least now people know where they can go and get the number. All right, the east side of the harbor.
Some small trout, a few bonnet heads. There has been an occasional Spanish mackerel cruising on the outside edge of the bar. Other than that, I haven't heard much up inside.
Yeah, not too many people willing to go back into the islands for some reason.
I would say the bugs would be my first thing that I would avoid.
All you got to do is touch a mangrove leaf right now, and you got a whole world of hurt going on.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine.
As long as you don't touch the mangrove trees or the branches, if you don't cast into them or touch them or disturb them, all those no-see-ems sit very quietly. But as soon as you shake one, it's like the gates of hell open up.
So if you're going to be casting up there along the bushes, maybe do a little practice beforehand to make sure you don't hit
them. Keep it low. Don't let your rod tip come up. skim the water with it and be very satisfied if you're within a foot or 3 foot.
Right. Not the right time to go squirrel fishing.
No. Because once you do one squirrel fish out of there and that tree starts shaking, time to go. You know, if the wind's blowing from your back and you have a halfway decent wind, you're okay. But if the wind's calm like it was yesterday or blowing from the mangroves to you, you are in a world of hurt. Those no-see-ums, I've literally been driven underwater by them. Jumped out of the boat, go underwater, and, you know, hold my breath as long as possible, come up, kind of cup your hands. They make me nuts.
That's
nasty. Mean, I can stand the mosquitoes. I can just slap at those. Okay, I'm bit. But those no-see-ums, when they get in there up north, if you're listening in the far frozen north or the far sweaty north right now, you guys are they're in the sweaty zone. They're like 100 degrees up there.
Right.
I mean, it's 82 degrees down here. It's like 99 and 102 up there.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. You know.
They went home too early.
Yeah, because, you know, it's supposed to be hot here. No, it's. Well, that was nice of you to put a leader on my shad with hook.
Little wire leader.
That was the wire from the
inside of your twisty tie.
Gotcha. All right. Alligator Creek, poacher's cut.
Nothing. A lot of juvenile tarpon up inside burnt store aisles. So if you're wanting to go way up inside Alligator Creek, juvenile tarpon have been the thing that everyone's been coming in and talking about, either fishing off their dock or just coming out on their boats to head out to go fishing.
I've seen some photos of some really big black drum caught up in those canals too.
I've been hearing about a couple here and there, but not anything consistent.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, these are mamma jamma fish. These are 30 pounder plus.
Nice.
So, you know, if you've got a dock in there, you've got a friend who's got a dock, you know, sink yourself a frozen shrimp or a crab or something like that and just kind of wait. And you'll catch a catfish, and then when you release that catfish, you'll catch another catfish, and then when you release that catfish, maybe you'll catch a black drum if you're lucky.
You got to pay your dues, though.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, Ponce de Leon Park.
Some small jacks, some very small mangrove snapper. One guy who was trying to poach a snook and supposedly got chased down by somebody.
Really?
Cool.
How awesome is that?
Yeah. Guy said he was pulling up in his boat, getting ready to land his boat, and he saw some guy running after another guy screaming and yelling at him and watched him drop a fish, and he turned around and grabbed it and walked it over and threw it back in the water and asked him what it was about. He's like, he was trying to poach a snook, so I chased him down.
Very cool. I'm so happy to see that people have less tolerance for that nowadays.
It is. It's kind of nice.
Well, there, contrary to popular opinion, there is a lot of good young people coming up, and they're worth saving this fishery, and they're worth, you know, making sure we do the right thing. Even when we don't agree with it, we need to do it just in case they're right. I mean, I don't agree with most of the biologists. I think most of them are blooming idiots. I don't think they have the brains God given average turnip. But what if a miracle, and they are right, and we do need to do these things so the fish stay on. So just on the off chance that one of them is actually right, you know, we follow law and do what's right. So anyway, PGI canals, what's going on?
Lots and lots of juvenile tarpon and some pretty big jacks the last few days, along with an assortment of a lot of sightings of black drum. Other than that, that's about what I got.
A couple of weird things turning up in there too. I talked to a guy who caught a bull shark about 4 feet long off of his dock.
Really?
I talked to a guy who caught a couple of bluefish off of his. And you just don't expect to see that in there.
No.
But
no, the bull shark surprises me a lot less than the bluefish.
Yeah.
Followed bait fish in.
We got to get a hold of Greg from the Marine Lab and Betty Stogler and get us and them together and try and see if we can't figure out what this whole bluefish thing was about, because 15 years ago they only showed up for 2-3 months a year
if you're lucky
in the Ackerman O'Hara waterway. That was it. Mm-hmm. We'd get a couple reports and that was it. We'd say, well, the only place you ever find any bluefish here is in that canal. Back when the old dam was there.
Right.
And they took that lock out or dam out, and all of a sudden the bluefish are everywhere. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe when they took that lock out, whatever was back in there just went crazy, and they maybe a few, because it was usually around the area in the lock. Maybe some of those fish never got to leave that area, so they don't migrate. And maybe they just spawned and respawned while living back in that area without, and then not knowing to migrate.
Landlocked because, bluefish?
Well, not landlocked, but behind the lock in those canals up there. And that one area, that canal is big and it's deep. And if these, say, survived in there for a few years without spawning or without being able to migrate like a normal bluefish would, maybe they don't know they should leave. And that's how we're getting bluefish in all the canals and everything year-round pretty much now.
Yeah. So what you're saying is we need to put up a lock somewhere and put some cobia behind it?
Could be. It's possible. I'm just trying to think of why they were only there.
Right.
And now we literally have them all over the harbor. They're in canals. And it's pretty much a year-round thing.
Yeah, if you're going to get a report about bluefish, 9 out of 10 times it was out of that canal system. You'd get one other random one here or there, but no consistency. But if somebody said they caught a bluefish today, your odds were in your favor. You could say Ackerman Waterway, and that'd be like, oh yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and usually it was up behind the locks. So anyway, Gilcrest Pier.
One little bull shark I actually heard about again. Same guy, actually.
Same shark.
No.
Could be.
No, he was in here, but he's been in here three different times this week buying ladyfish. He's having a hard time catching his whiting that he would prefer, so he learned from you to always buy frozen bait just to be your fresh bait, you know.
Have something to take with you, otherwise the gods of the sea get angry.
Right, yes. You got to have your bait insurance policy.
Yes. All right, let's see, where are we? The deep holes in the harbor.
I've got nothing. Couple guys trolling on their way out have hooked some Spanish mackerel, but yeah, that's all I've heard.
Some of those Spanish have showed up. There were a smattering of tarpon that were spotted in there. I didn't hear of anybody catching them, but they said they were definitely watching them roll. These guys are experienced enough to know what a tarpon rolling looks like, so I believe them. I've heard about a couple of sharks hooked in there. Nothing major, but you know, black tips, 4 or 5 feet long.
That's a pretty good black tip.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a 4 or 5 foot black tip. They're fun.
Well, we've been seeing some nice black tips out there.
They are fun at that size. I mean,
there's
flat
also been
out.
Some really big black nose sharks around. You know, considering and how big those fish are supposed to get.
And there's another one that you.
I guarantee you that there's a couple records swimming around out there.
Never saw them in the harbor, and all of a sudden.
Black nose and sharp nose sharks both.
Sharp nose I've been catching forever. Literally 20
in
some
in the
years.
The number that we have?
Oh, actually more.
Really?
Really?
20-some years ago in the 90s and all that, I caught a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I didn't do any charters during the early, you know, the middle 2000s up till now. But back then, I caught a lot of sharp nose.
But not the black nose?
Not the black nose. That was a grouper thing. If you were grouper fishing, you found black nose out on the reefs, but never really hooked one inside. Bait reports. What's going on with the bait? White bait.
It's moved. It's moved out quite a bit. There's still some at the marker one and marker two, but the vast majority of it is down towards devilfish. And I'm sure there's plenty out along the beaches because I've been hearing, like Josh saying, him going out and hearing of some bait out there and seeing the bait. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's more along the surf now. We just had so much fresh water dumping out. It's pushing them.
Any threadfin reports?
Been hearing some guys saying that they're seeing some at the 41 bridge as far as bait dimpling, and I'm assuming that's going to be threadfins because the white bait usually doesn't gather up like that around the bridge with this much fresh water.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure some of what we saw offshore yesterday was threads, but it's hard to be absolutely sure because as soon as you get up on them, they disappear.
Move off, yeah. Pinfish.
Mostly right there around the little islands right there by Gasparilla Pass.
The
Dog Island and Bird Key or whatever you want to call it. That's where I've been hearing about some pinfish.
Okay. Anything, Josh?
Squirrelies are still good out there on the ledges.
Squirrel fish. Well, how deep is that?
Oh, 30, 40 feet.
Catch any other critters while you're doing that?
Yeah, some really weird wrasse.
The little green wrasse?
No, the one that looks like a little tile fish.
He's more like a watchman. Isn't that a watchman type of watchman goby?
I don't know. He's slimy like a wrasse, and he bit me like a wrasse.
So. Okay, how about ladyfish?
Ladyfish, there have been some down there in the bull turtle area. And then down towards Wind Bay area, there's been a lot out there on those grass flats.
Okay. That's going to take us. The Red Tide Report, Sarasota County Good, Charlotte as background background concentrations.
Now remember, and if you're seeing that gold dust algae, that bronze sheen on right. The waters offshore, that's not red tide.
But Charlotte County is all good. Lee County is in the cautionary low to medium in a couple of the samples, and Collier County was background, so it's good. Freshwater reports.
Pretty incredible, especially if you're Morris. Jeez. You think you could catch a few more big fish right now?
Yeah, if he tried.
I'm sure.
He's not really giving it his best effort at the moment.
No. We've been selling a lot of shiners right now. I mean, shiners have been the key. Cecil Webb, TGA, Tropical Gulf Acres. A lot of the little ponds and canal systems out there in Rotunda. I mean, guys are just really bass fishing just about anywhere right now and doing really exceptionally well.
Any particular lures or bait or anything?
The frogs have started to pick back up again. Still selling the lizards consistently and the plastic worms consistently. A couple guys did buy the bigger beetle spins today to take with them fishing because they were catching a couple occasional crappie, bluegill, and bass on that big one. So, kind of a mixed little bit there.
Yeah, the bluegill are bedding up, so if you like bluegill fishing, then you know where the kind of sandy areas, 3-4 feet of water.
Hey, Josh, what does white bait smell like?
What does white bait smell like?
Mm-hmm.
Up close or far away?
Just when you're driving around.
Like a musty watermelon.
Okay. What do bluegill smell like when they're bedding?
A lot the same.
Frank thought I was a shout-out lunatic when I was talking about that the other day, because I told him,
no,
guys.
I know you're a shout-out lunatic.
That has nothing to do with it. That's two separate issues.
But I was explaining to him that guys that used to bluegill fish up north, it's real common for them to drive around a lake to find the beds by smelling them before
Absolutely.
They see them, because they're in that deeper 5 to 7 feet of water.
When you smell that bluegill smell, there's been bait fish that have been massacred in that area.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Getting into the tarpon map, all right, let me just get my brushes all together here, and where is the red dots, the good stuff?
Boca Grande for sure.
Okay, Boca Grande Pass, anywhere else?
There has been a couple sightings of fish about 6 to 7 miles offshore, mudding up the bottom, just below Captiva Pass, and up towards Stump Pass. Kind of between Stump Pass and the Palm Island Ferry. That was yesterday's report.
All right. Yellow dots, 50-50 shot.
The beaches.
Any particular areas along the beaches?
Not really. I'm
Boca de Venice.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about south of us down around Sanibel?
I'd say with those fish mudding off the beach there or off of Captiva, that it'd probably be a good shot from Captiva up. I don't know much further south than that, because Knapp's Point has never really gone off this year at all.
Anything on the hill?
Those fish may or may not move onto a hill. That, you know, over the weekend, that might be a 50-50 shot.
I'm going to put possible chance there on the hill. I got possible chance in the deep holes of the harbor.
Yep.
Where else are we looking anywhere?
In the intercoastal from Captiva Pass all the way up through past Lemon Bay.
Red or yellow?
I would say yellow. Seems like hardly anybody likes to be patient for those fish that always are down there in Captiva with anchoring up and waiting. There's a handful of guys that get good reports on, and they do the same numbers as some of those guys in the past.
Yeah, but you got to run around and chase them and look at them and follow them all over the place and make you feel like you're doing something. You can't just hang out, sit, be patient.
Right.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. Being patient and fishing, it's not a good combination, is it?
Mm-mm. Okay. Nighttime fishing?
Gasparilla, Elgin Bean, 41, Tom Adams Bridge.
Okay.
And then Sanibel. Pretty much all the major bridges in our area.
Yeah, but any place you can stay close to your car so when it starts pouring, you can get to it.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to save that. All right, I'll load that up in a minute. Now, just general, what's going on with the tarpon for the tarpon report?
There was a bunch of crabs flooding out of there last night, from what I heard. So that's going to still probably keep them focused on a crab feed at least for a couple more days. And that's normal for the, you know, before and after full moon kind of thing. You know, I think we're going to see, with all this fresh water dumping out, I think we are going to see more fish moving up along the beaches and into the harbor over the next several days. And I think that thread fins hopefully should start to work. Bait busters obviously will work if the thread fins do start to show up.
All right, right now, what's your game plan, best bet to go out and catch a tarpon?
Go fish at night at one of the bridges. I mean, if I wanted to guarantee myself a tarpon right now, that's what I would personally do. And I just love that because it's, you know, easy. It's usually close to one of the boat ramps, and you're such an assortment of sizes from 20 pounders to 120 pounders.
All right, Josh, what's your best bet? Where would you go to?
For a tarpon?
Yeah, to catch tarpon.
Well, I mean, those fish of mixed sizes are cool and fun and all, but you can't beat those Boca Grande Pass fish. You know, there's just something magical about the way that they react to things and watching them jump and then having to fight them up from deep. And, you know, it's just a really cool thing. It's unfortunate that we have to fish in a crowd over there, but, you know, that's just the way that Boca Grande Pass works. So go hang out in Boca Grande Pass. Watch how it's done before you ever try to do anything. And when you do get on those fish, you know, use tackle that's heavy enough that you can keep control on them. That's the number one thing that I see people making mistakes with out there.
I would say absolutely true. I think the biggest change in the last few years has been how much spinning tackle is being used in the pass versus just a few years ago. It was all conventionals and all monofilament, and now we're starting to see more and more of the spinning tackle out there and braided line, which is something I really didn't expect.
Well, and you can definitely do it, but, you know, go out there with 65 pound braid and a reel that's got some real drag on it. You know, that Slammer 3 is an awesome reel to take out there. It's got that heavy duty pen drag that you're able to really put some pressure on a fish. You're going out there with a little bit lighter weight 5,000 size reel that's maybe not built as heavily, running 40 pound line, and with a rod that doesn't have enough backbone to it, you just fight that fish forever until a shark finally comes up and eats him. And you're not able to keep pressure on it to keep him controlled to get him to go where you want him to go. He goes wherever he wants. So make sure that your tackle is up to the job. It doesn't have to be conventional gear, but it does have to be tough enough that you can kind of, you know, maneuver your fish around.
Control the fish a little bit more.
Yeah.
Here's something that I was kind of surprised at. I was just getting the link ready for this area fishing report, and it's show number 501.
Nice.
You missed show 500?
That went up yesterday. Oh, well, it's actually going up. I'm trying to get it up. Hasn't loaded yet, so, but
happy anniversary.
Yeah,
just kind of cool. It's not any different than show 12 or
you're halfway to 1,000.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, kind of feel like I've been halfway to 1,000 for a while here. So, you know, it was just kind of weird. I looked in, I remembered when I did okay number 500, and then I'm looking, and I just happened to notice when I did this, it was 501. I was typing out 501, thinking, well, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty
Three
cool.
of us did show 501, so
nice.
All right. Anyway, we broke that. Can't think of anything else we're supposed to be talking about. Can you guys think of anything else?
Not really. I mean, Did AJ's closed today, right?
Yeah, Amberjack are shut. So are
AJ's
Triggerfish.
And Triggers closed today, but Gag Grouper did open today. Weather's supposed to be relatively nice for the next several days. I think we're going to see better seas over the next several days. So
over the weekend, for sure. Yeah. It's supposed to pick back up once we get, like I said, into Tuesday night.
So you got, you know, some definitely potential for a lot of different fish right now. And, you know, prior to the storm, the permit were just starting to get active. The cobia were starting to get active. Some of that offshore species right now is probably one of your more better bets as far as a variety goes. And I don't see that, you know, because gags, you catch them in relatively close, anywhere from, you know, literally 3 feet of water to 80 feet of water. You got the potential of finding a lot of species within 15 miles of shore right now.
Okay.
Now, I'll hammer this home again, and I've done this a couple times on our Fish and Talk radio show and in the magazine, but reminding people one more time, because they're going out there, they're looking for places where they can fish for gag grouper. If you had taken my advice and you had marked where the crab traps were out there in the Gulf of Mexico, you would have some ready-made places where you could go drag a deep-running plug and maybe come across a gag grouper, because stone crabs don't tend to hang out on bare sand. They tend to hang out on, you know, stony-type things, hence the name stone crab. It's not called a sand crab. So if you'd marked those spots while there were still stone crab trap floats on them, you'd have some connect-the-dot runs that you could do. But now, if you didn't mark the spots, you're going to have to wait till season opens again. So go with somebody who did.
So, okay. The wind is looking pretty good through Sunday. Monday's a little iffy on the wind report right now. And according to NOAA's marine forecast, the seas are going to be 2 to 3 foot or less all week. But according to the actual land forecast, Sunday the winds are going to start picking up. It's supposed to be 5 to 10, and then Sunday 5 to 13 going up, and by Monday gust as high as 20. So, you know, definitely see what you can get out and get into this weekend, because it might be iffy again next week.
Yeah, right. A little bit breezy out there. Do you know what that area forecast is for? What area it covers?
It's this area.
Well, the reason that I ask is because there's different forecasts that you can get, and when I do a forecast from NOAA, I always do one for 39 miles offshore, because you know how we always have that joke where you're supposed to add the two wind speeds together and that's what you actually get? If right. You take their offshore forecast, it actually is usually more accurate for what's going on inshore, and their offshore forecast for Monday night says seas 3 to 4 feet.
Yeah, that's what it's... So, and I'm looking to see where I did this weather report to from Bonita Beach to the Suwannee River.
Yep.
Coastal waters.
Yeah, I always take the offshore version rather than the one that's near shore, because okay. So often they're, you know, you
I'll
get out there and
that page.
It says it's going to be 2 feet and it's really three, yeah. 4 feet, and then you look at the offshore report, it's like, oh, okay, that's what they said was going to be offshore.
All right. So. Okay. Anyway, I guess that's about it. I think so. Any last words there, Mr. Robert?
Go out and be safe this weekend and enjoy yourself. Wear sunblock and stay hydrated, because it's a little steamy out there. And bug spray if you're going out at night.
If you're from up north and you're going out this weekend and you got cloud cover, you're not going to think about sunburn, but it will happen.
Oh, yes.
Josh, anything, words of advice from you?
Why do mermaids have breasts?
I don't know.
Because that's where we get menhaden milk.
Can you guys say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I really gotta get a better job.
Just edit it out. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there thinking, wow. Okay, boys and girls, bye.